Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. 'Twas the grace that brought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that called my falling soul. He took beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that called my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need.
I think the chorus again. The chorus again. Some chorus.
I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous grace that called my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need.
We greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a great privilege to stand here tonight. It's been a while since we stand here, but there was one good thing. Brother Eli told me one day, he said sometimes it's good to have a back seat, because even a saying says, for you to run well, it's better to go back a bit than you can run well. All things work together for those that love the Lord. Without any delay, let's open our Bible to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, just two verses there, 1 to 2, it's a familial scripture, but we want to look at it in a different angle. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the day of Herod the king, behold, there come wise men from east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born, the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Let us bow our head and offer a word of prayer. Beloved Lord Jesus Christ, tonight we come humbly before thy presence to thank you for the privilege that you have given to us to be in thy house. Father, we didn't come here to see with one another. We come to meet with thee. And we know that each time when you come, something good happens, Father. I commit myself before thee that you should put aside all the human element, Father. Everything that will not be profitable for your children, Father, take it away from me and manifest yourself through the preaching of thy word, Father. Father, shadow all of us with thy Holy Spirit, Father, that we may see yourself manifest in each of us life, because we are needy people, we are depending on thee, Father. Everybody that went to school can open thy book and read it, Father, but it needs more than just a simple reading of thy word. That's why I ask you that you shall inspire me, Father, that you shall anoint my lips and anoint also the ears of my brethren and sisters in this place, that they could receive something that could say that it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Father, I'm not a theologian man. I'm just a man who believes in the work that you did through a prophet, that you have revealed yourself in this generation, Father, and we have received you, prophet. The scripture says there's a reward for someone that receive a prophet as a prophet, Father, and also a blessing that goes with it, Father. I put together my faith with the faith of this congregation, Father. From this moment, we're looking unto thee, that you shall take control of everything. If there's any spirit that doesn't confess your name in this place, we cast them out to the ground, Father, that you shall take control of everything. If there's any prayer request, Father, we commit all them at thy hand, because we know that the master hand is a precious hand that everybody wants to be touched. Father, we ask you that you shall bless the pastor, bless Brother George that went with him, that you shall give them a blessing there, Father, that they shall bless thy bride where they are in England, Father, and the same manner, Father, on Sunday when we gather here, we want you to bless us again, Father, that each moment when we come in this place, it should not be a habit, it should not be a catch, Father, but it will be a building life to eternity, Father. We ask you, Father, that you shall take control of everything in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. If Brother Paul could give us a thing, sir, we just want to slide a few things, sir, and just our topic tonight is not that big. We want just to make it the price of God reconciling with his family. Now there's very good two words there that is very important, is reconciling and also that God has a family. You may have a seat. Sorry for you are too polite that you could not sit without hear the word. Now I would like to start this by telling you a very good story. Everything that I'm gonna say is it from the message of the hour. I've never been a preacher before somewhere else. I believed the message when I was 22 years old. And from that time on, I never went back to the world. And that's the only things I know in my life. Now, the prophet tells us a very good scripture, a story of his friend. He had a friend of his. They moved to a new house. When they moved that new house, his friend went to the attic and he find a truck there. And when he find that truck, there was a stop there. And the man wanted corn ice cream. The corn ice cream was costing maybe 5 cents, something like that, the prophet tell. And the man says, maybe I should go with this stamp to the stamp collector and to show him if there's something in that he can give me. But if he can give me 5 cents, I can buy my corn ice cream. It will be enough for me. And the man went to the post collector and showed him. And the post collector says, wait a minute. The prophet said he took the glass he put and he says, young man, I can give you $1. And he said, that's good. And he gave him $1. And the post collector, he studied it and says, but this one has more value than $1. And he went to someone else and they gave him $50. And the third person now took it. He knew the things better. And he went it, the prophet say, he went to sold it for $500,000. That's the last time I heard about it. And the prophet tried to explain, he says, look, that stamp was just 1/2 inch. It wasn't that big. But it's not the size that matter, but it's the value that was in there. And they say that what was matter. And they say the same time, like the scripture, sometimes we are expected to read a long scripture, but it's not what the matter. What matter is what in the scripture. And we know that what is in the Bible, it holds eternal life there. That's something very important that all the books of this life can't hold. And the Bible, sometimes it's very thin. If you look at some business books and you look at some of the accounting books, you find them very big, but it doesn't hold much. But the Bible holds eternal life on it. Now, from the scripture we read in Matthew chapter 2, we saw that here, the all plan, the eternity, all was bound in the birth of this king. Everything that was in Eden, everything of this life, the entire Bible is summarized in this scripture that we read. Because without this scripture, nothing could happen to human race. We know that the Adam race was depending on this particular scripture, because someone has to be born and to pay the price of redemption. Someone has to be born, to bring man back to God. When we go back to Eden, you will understand why it was so important. But these wise men, they got something. And at that day, they were watching stars, the heaven, and they saw that this particular star lined different from the other stars. There's something that's going on there. It must be something that is happening in the spiritual realm. And nobody else could understand, but they did understood it. And the prophet says, the word seen in the Bible, it has compound meaning. It literally speaking, it is see the same way we see things, but it has a deeper meaning than that. It's understanding. It means that the wise men, they did understood that star, and they say that we come and to worship him. And we know that a star is an angel. It directed them where baby Christ was born. And always the angel will direct you where Christ is. Now they got something from there. And this was the purpose of God to express something to his family. God has something inside of it. Now let me just remind you for a few definitions of the family I found from the internet. It says, all descendants of a common ancestor. They give an example, like the house has been owned by the same family for 300 years. That it's something that a certain family, they possess it. It's like if you look in the book of Leviticus, the Bible says, God said, the land belonged to me. Nobody can buy the land. Because he gave them to those 12 tribes. Everybody gave them a certain portion. But this was belonging to them. They die or not dying. The generation after generation, they will have control of it. Now, if you look the second one, it says, a group of people related by blood or marriage. It is a group of the people that are related by blood or marriage. But tonight, we want to speak about a group of the people that are related by blood. And they says a group consists of two parents and their children living together as a unity. That's the way the family is. They are living together as a unity. Now, to show you one thing from the prophet. The prophet, he says here in the spoken word, oneness. He said, now, the first man and the first woman in the Garden of Eden was in perfect harmony with God. So much that God could come down at any time he desired and talk lip to ear with Adam and Eve. Now that is a perfect oneness, God and his creation. God speaking lip to ear with Adam and Eve. And they were so perfect in harmony with God till they were one with God. God and his family was one. Now God and his family, they were one. Now you can see that the family of God, the first family of God, it was Adam and Eve. Now they were the family of God. And they were one with God. And they were living in harmony with God. And everything was perfect. And God could come down and commune with them. And speak to them as the prophet said. He talked to them lip to ears. And they will be able, God, to answer their question. If Adam has had time, he could sit down and God speak to them and explain to them everything. It was a wonderful time that they used to have. Now we know that we're speaking here about blood-related family. Now Adam and Eve, they were related to God by blood. It was nothing to do with anything else because Adam and Eve, according to the scripture, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. They were related to God. It was by blood. It wasn't by nothing else. As we go, you will understand. And you will see that God has to pay a price to bring back the fellowship again to his family. Because the prophet showed us that in the beginning, there used to be a harmony between God and the man. And that harmony, because they were moving together with the same blood. And there is a connection in a family. When the family are moving in the same blood, not a strange blood, but the father and the mother are one. And when they have the children, they could feel the same thing, that there is something to do here. We here, we are not related by any other relationship, but the blood relationship. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that crept upon the earth. Now that was God to make Adam and Eve in their image. What does it mean? God make them according to his own blood. Because we know the image that God was speaking here. He wasn't speaking in a physical image like you and I. Because the prophet tells us our image is mammal image. It's the image, physical speaking, of the animals. It's not the image of God. But here, God speaking, making man and the woman according to his image. Because they were like God. They come from God. Their spirit, it was the spirit of God. Now, by the time you get to Genesis chapter 2, that's where you find that God take the sad and form now a human being and put now the soul in it. And he blow and Adam become a living soul. And from Adam, it's the same thing that happened there. God didn't create it someone else different from Adam. And he made Adam to sleep, a deeper sleep. And from that sleep come Eve from there. You see that the family, they come from the same blood. And Adam and Eve, they come from the same blood. It wasn't different. They come from the same place. And the prophet said that what made the connection. Because they has the same blood. And they were created in God's image. Now we know now, when the sin come in now, it broke that union between God and the man. Something happened that God and man could not unite together anymore. Now something has took place there because man has transgressed what God told him not to do. That something has took place there that inside of Adam staying in that condition, the prophet said he could live there eternal. But because of the sin, when the sin came in, it separated them, it broke the relationship. It broke the fellowship. There's no fellowship between God and Adam anymore. Now something has become in. There was a gap now between God and the Adam. And God was finding a way. How can he finish these things? And we find that Adam didn't have access anymore to the tree of life. Because before, they used to have access. They used to go freely and eat from the tree of life without any condition. But by the time now, they listen to the devil. By the time now, Eve listened to the serpent. It broke the communion. Between them and God, something happened. It's always the prophet say in any relationship, what we come in, once the sin come in, it broke the fellowship. It's something that broke the fellowship between God and man. Now, if you read, you open your Bible to Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. Now, we find that now, so he drove out man and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, Adam could not eat anymore from the tree of life where he's supposed to eat for. Because God, being the supreme father, he provided everything to Adam as natural father, you and I. We do our best. We go to college. We sacrifice our life to provide the need of our family. Every genuine father will do the same thing. He will sacrifice his life, not for himself, but for the wife and the children. He will do everything. He will work hard to make sure that his family is safe. His family is having a good life. That's the nature of the father. Now, our supreme father, the prophet says, he has that more than what we don't have it. And he provided everything. And he knew that the enemy was in Eden. And he provided everything to his family. That everything that they need to keep them safe, he provided to his family. Now, here the prophet says here, in the spoken word, the conflict between God and Satan. He said, but God, at the beginning, gave his children the atomic weapon because he's the infinite God. Now, seeing that there was going to be a conflict, there was going to be a battle, God equipped his children with the right kind of ammunition. Now, God knew that there's something that's going to happen, that the way God acted, he said, before even the things could be there, God knew that these people, I can't leave them this way. They need certain equipment. They need a certain weapon. And the prophet said he gave them the atomic one. Because he knew that right in Eden, the enemy was there. The Lucifer, the son of the morning that was cast down on the earth. He was there and God knew and he gave them. And he told Adam, you may eat of everything, but do not touch this tree. Now, Adam being the pastor of the church at Eden, now he has to tell Eve everything what God has told him. Now, bring Eve, always reminding him. He said, God, he said to me that you should eat everything, but do not touch him. If you touch him, there's a consequence that you're going to go with it. Now, even this life that we are living, once we trespass the law, there's something that we need to pay. We have to pay the fine. There's nowhere where you can go by like that. If the guard catch you, you break the speed limit, you must pay the price. That if the law is law, it must have a fine with it. Now they trespass what God told them not to do. They went beyond now. Now God now has to block the access now to the tree of life because he know that if they get access there, they will be like me. God said, no, there's no access anymore because you can't mix. You can't eat from both tree, the tree of good and evil, and eat from the tree of life. And it has to stop there. You must eat from one place. Now, that's all the source that God provided them. Because God knew that they could not mix. If they mix, there's death. There's a separation. And spiritually speaking, they were separated from God. There was death enter by the minute they eat it. Something happened. There was no communion anymore. Because the scripture tells us in Genesis 3 that God drove them out of the Garden of Eden. Now God put the cherubims in that with a flaming sword that they could not come near now. But God, despite that, because God can't defeat his own law, God has spoken and he says something. His children must obey it. Because the obedience is better than the sacrifice. We can sacrifice our time coming to church, but not obeying the word of God, it will not profit us anything. That what is more a protest, it's to obey the word of God. Now we see that the first family of God, as the prophet told us, God provided everything for them. Naturally speaking, all of us here, we can witness that everything that we are working hard in this life, it's for our family. And God proved it, and he showed the example of it, that he must put his children in a safe condition. But there you may ask why there was no wife there. We know that God is El Shaddai. It's God himself they came out themselves of God. And we see that through the age now, when it happened, God has to choose another family, physically speaking. And the Hebrew children, they become the family of God now. God wants to show who he is through the Hebrew children. And he wants to manifest himself that the people should see that God has a family on earth. Because that's always the desire of God. Amen. And somehow, the family of God, they went astray again. They depart from the word of God. And they have to find themselves now in Egypt for bondage. They were separated from God for 400 years. It's something that was so difficult to see that God trying to do something with his family. And these people now, like Adam and Eve, they have to live now under the blood of the ram and the goat and all these things. And the prophet said God was in heartbroken condition. God wasn't happy to see his family living in that condition. There's no parent that will be able to live comfortable separating with his wife and his children. It's not possible. A genuine father, when he's separated from his family, he will feel some pain inside of him. He can't just be happy and doing anything and knowing that, my wife and my children, they are living somewhere. Something will be there inside of the heart. Every time, because those people are part of his life. Because the Bible says, man and woman, while they are together in wedlock, they become one. It becomes part of your body. And you will not like to separate yourself with a part of your body. You will feel pain if really that person is a part of your body. It's the same thing now if you take in a spiritual realm. How can God will feel comfortable separating himself from his own children? God will never feel comfortable. Because those were part of the body of God himself. They come from God. And they were made like unto God. But God will not feel comfortable. And now bringing these things closer a bit to home. Like you and I, being now the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the bride come out of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prophet tell us at that day at the Calvary, that when he was pierced, that from that time, that the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ come out of his ribs. And how can the bride and the groom live separate? It's not possible. The groom will not be happy to see him living separate from his wife. It's not possible. It's same you and I being the member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have to live separate, if we are truly the member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will feel some pain. You have to feel some pain. If the arm is living separate from the finger, is living separate from the arm, there must be some pain. It can't be that way. It has to be some pain. If I'm not living now in harmony with my brother, it must be some pain going on inside of me. If there's no pain, we are not connected. And to be connected, it has to be a spiritual connection. A spiritual connection. Become we come from different background. We come from different countries. But we have something that made us the family of God is the Spirit of God. What made us the family of God is the message of the hour. There's many people from different places here.
Let's just bring down closer these things. I come with Brother Eli from the same country. But there's plenty Congolese people here. We never met before. Why? Because there's no connection. The connection there is the message of the hour. Now that's what makes us connected. That's what makes us the family of God. Now we know that God always has a desire and he wants to express something toward his family. And now he see that condition. The prophet says, God was in heartbroken condition. God could not be happy and see his own children separate from himself. God could not be glad in that condition. There was something inside of God that was moving and God wanted to express something. But it wasn't yet time for God to express it. That's why I say that the scripture we read from Matthew chapter 2, it have everything that we need. The whole Bible is depending on that scripture. Now we see that God, that time when Adam sinned, God come and he killed the animal. When he killed the animal, and he took now the blood and spread it, and took the skin of the animal and put on Adam and Eve, it was showing something. It was showing something. God didn't do it for nothing. God could come just down and let be a garment and God cover them. But God has to shed the innocent lamb blood. The animal had to be killed because God knowing that something will be done in the future. Something more deeper than this. Now, and we see now that in the Old Testament, from there, Adam, from Eden now, that everything to do with man's sin, it has to be with the blood. Everything to do with man's sin, it has to be with the blood. The animal, the innocent things must die. Then God could have relationship with man. And we see that, says from Eden when God put cherubims there. And you get to the temple, when Moses was building the temple. We find that the same thing happened there. God show him and tell him to put two cherubims, one on the right and one on the left, because there should not be access there. And there was a veil now between where the ark of the Lord was there. There was a veil that was separating God and man, that man should not have access. And the same principle applied there, that you find each time when someone sinned and the person wants to reconcile again with God, an innocent substance must die in the place of that person. Now, God see that these things, they are good, but it's not taking away the desire of sin. It's not finishing with sin question. There's still a question of sin there, because man has to come always and do the same thing. Now, that man always has to come and offer a sacrifice. And that sacrifice now has to become a burnt offering now for the Lord to accept the sinner. It always has to go that way. And it must be, and through all the shadow and everything that happened in the Old Testament, if you look even Elijah with the widow woman, it's the same thing that happened there. And now that the lady, the prophet tell us, that she has the oil, she has the flour, and she has the two sticker, which was the cross, and showing that God has to do something that way. And we know that the flour and the oil is the word and the spirit, and it has to be together for it to make Christ. And we know that is the meal offering. And that meal offering, the prophet tells us, is the pouring of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit come down now, because when Jesus was with his disciples, he taught them his word. But his word wasn't enough. And he has to go up and send the Holy Spirit. That the prophet say now, you put the dynamic and the mechanic together, it make a perfect things now. The things can work. Now you see that something has to be done. God was the type of all these things of Old Testament. We read with the pastor, he was preaching about the burnt offering and the sin offering. And we find that all these things, it's going back now to Matthew chapter 2. Because Christ was himself the burnt offering. He has to become a sacrifice. And he was himself a sin offering. He has to come the sin for you and sin for me. That for us to be accepted before God, Christ must become a sinner. There's nowhere where we could be accepted if Christ wasn't to become a sinner. He has to become a sin to take away our sin. Now that's the principle of the word of God. And God has to do things in that way. Now we see that God ran his things in three. And we find that everything there, it always work that way. And the prophet says that Christianity is based on three things. On death, burial, and the resurrection. All that, that's the same thing. Now, it's based on three things. Now, God has to pay a price to reconcile himself to his own creation. He has to make a price now for him in order to be together in fellowship with his own creation. There's nowhere where these things could happen that way. Because God has to do something. And the prophet says now, in any relationship, the love demands fellowship. There's nowhere where you can talk about love if there's no fellowship. The fellowship must always be there. When there's love, it has to be a fellowship there. But God's name himself is love. Now, if God is love, he must have a fellowship on him. Now, God was finding a way that he can fellowship with his people. And the prophet says, God is love. And love demands fellowship. Like the young couple, when the boy meets a girl and he says to her, oh, he thinks she's pretty or she's fond of him. And they want to have fellowship, a really fellowship. But before they can have this fellowship, there has to be an agreement. Before they can enter into wedding lock, there has to an agreement for this certain fellowship. And it is best open truth or pledge to each other. Now there's something very important there to find that every love demands fellowship. You can't be with your wife that I love her, she loves you, if there's no fellowship. It's not possible. And we see that something become now because the fellowship between God and man was broken. Man could not fellowship anymore with God. There was something that happened that God and his people, there was no fellowship. And God wanted to fellowship with them. And God wanted to bring back the communion the way he used to do with Adam and Eve. But something become between of them. Sin now become there. Now, God has to settle the question of sin. Because God has to finish it. If that gap that comes between, there's nobody else that could be able to fulfill it except God himself. That's the only person that can fill that gap. It has to be God. That's why the prophet says, love, God is love, and love demands fellowship. There's nowhere where you can separate love from fellowship. We can't say that you love me and we can't fellowship together. I would doubt to my wife that that is not genuine love. Because we have to fellowship. And the fellowship was broken in Eden, the prophet said. That the fellowship was broken. When fellowship and sin. Now, when the fellowship was broken, God and man, there has to be a sort of agreement, some sort of arrangement to restore again that lost fellowship. Something has to be made to restore again that lost fellowship. Because there was no fellowship again anymore between God and his family. And God loved to fellowship with his family. But there was something that happened, that the fellowship was broken. But how can God do it now? That he can bring back the fellowship between him and his children. That's why we see that God has to become a burnt offering for him to bring fellowship to his children. For him to bring fellowship to his family, he has to become a burnt offering. And he must become a sin offering. And himself must become a meal offering. That God must fulfill all these things to restore back fellowship to his children. Otherwise, there will be no fellowship. And we say that God has a certain attribute in himself that he has to manifest. But how can he manifest it? Because being the great Jehovah and that great Elohim, the God that exists by himself, in that form of the Spirit, God could not bring back the fellowship to his children. God will not be able to bring back the fellowship in the form of Jehovah to his family. It's not possible. Because if it was possible, God is going to defeat all his type and shadow. God is going to defeat his own law. But if it was the case, why he has to leave all the Hebrew children all this time to go through the blood of the animals, to go through the blood of a bullock and all these things? If there was God as a spirit who could do it, he could just speak from there and bring the fellowship. But God knows that the things doesn't work that way. God has to do something deeper to bring back the fellowship with his family. And that's why I say there was a price that God has to pay to bring reconciliation to his own family. God has to pay a price because God become a burnt offering. It's not a light thing. It's not something small. But why God has to do that? Because God has a love to his family. God loved his family. And he wanted to do anything that he can do to bring back the fellowship again. Now, if the Spirit of God is in you and in me, we will be pushed to do the same thing. Because if we have that nature of the Father, because we are created in God's image, and I will show you the quote, the prophet says, the only way that made Adam and Eve connected, it was because of the Spirit of God. That was the blood that was connecting Adam and Eve. And the way, only way we can connect it together, it has to be through the Spirit of God. There's no other way we can connect it. It must be the Spirit of God in you and the Spirit of God in me. Now, the child had to be that. Remember some last year when the pastor shows about those tribe, those people that was fighting there in some way in America, that they have to have the peace child. Both sides, that the other side must have the peace child, and the other side also has to have the peace child. And she told that the Spirit of God must be in both sides. The Spirit of God must be in both sides in order to have a connection. Now, the Spirit of God is a spirit of love. Because God, the prophet tells us that God is love. And even John shows us that God is love. Now, God is love. And the love long for fellowship. And the prophet, this fellowship was broken. And God has to restore it again. Now, for God to restore it again, God must become a man. Because according to Leviticus 25, the law of the redemption shows us that when a man is sold, when the man is become a slave, because once we are born in this body that you are born in, we are born slave of sin. To this Adam race that we are born sinner. There's nowhere where you can escape it. Even the little children, you can see that the word of God is perfect. Even our own children, you don't need to teach them how to say the liar. They don't need to see you telling the liar for them to know how to do it. No, I look at even my son Joshua. He's holding something. If you call him, give me. He's trying to put it at the back. But say, who taught him to do that? Because the nature that you are born in it, it's automatically, it's a nature of sin. That's why the prophet says, the sin can't redeem sin. That in the law of the redemption, the prophet said there was two things that the redeemer has to be. He must be qualified of those four things. He must be upright first. And he must be willing to do the work of redemption. Okay, and he must have enough wealth to do it. And the fourth things, that one must be a kinsman. It must be someone that is closer unto thee. Now we find that in human race, we find there's nothing that God created that was created in God's image apart from man. The angel, they never been created in the image of God. It's only Adam and Eve that were created in the image of God. Now, and you and I now, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are in the image of God. Amen. That what made us to be in the image of God is through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, God, because of what happened in Eden now, the only one that was keen, the only one that was close to Adam and Eve, it was God himself now. But the great Jehovah, how can he become now a sinner? In that form of the Spirit, it's not possible for God to reconcile you to his family. God has to pay a price now that he must change his mask now, that he must change his form now and go to another form in order for him to bring us back to reconciliation with him. Without that, it can't be happened. But that great price, well, how God can do it? Because of the love of God to his family. That is what will make him to be able to change the form. If it wasn't the love, it wasn't something easy to do. That God has to change the form to do the work of the redemption. And God is bound with his law. And the prophet says, if Jesus Christ was a second person from the Lord, from God, then God is not just. Because the justice now, even of this land that we are living, if I committed a crime, they will never catch my wife. They will never catch my children. They will catch me. I'm the one that has to face the penalty. I'm the one that has to pay the fine, not them. But now, the prophet says, if something goes wrong, then I have to take a billy pole to go in my place. It means that there's no justice. He said, if I want to do justice, I must accept myself to face the pen. Now, that's the same thing with God now. Now, God now, if Christ was a second person from God, then God wasn't just. Because how can he let Christ go and die? No, that wasn't justice. God himself has to become a man. God himself has to change the form now for him to pay the price of reconciliation with his own family. There was no other way that God could do it. But the prophet said, the love that God has toward his family, he pushed him to do that. The love that God has in him, that he could not see the things going that way. That's why he has to provide something. If you go to Revelation chapter 5, you will find that when John was crying there, he was crying because he said that the all human race, the Adam race, all went to cow. They went separate between God. They had no communion now. And John wept so much. And the prophet said he didn't last because when he turned now, he see the land as slain before the foundation of the world. It was showing that God in him, there is a certain attribute that God wants to manifest. There is a certain things that God wants to show to his family. Now, those things God could not show them if what happened in Eden didn't happen. Now, God wants to present now, to show his love. He said, no, I don't love you just when everything's going well. Even when things are tough, I'm willing to pay the price to bring you back to myself. Now, there was a gap between God and man. There was a gap between God and Eden. But God wanted to pay a price to bring back the fellowship between him and his own children. That God wanted to do something. God wanted to do something that he could bring back the fellowship. And God has to become a man now. That's why the scripture says, let's go read one scripture here. It's a very good scripture. The scripture shows us that how God now, that he wants to reconcile his children to himself. God wants to do something that he can bring the reconciliation. And God, the only way he can do it, God must become a man like you and I. And the only way that God has to become a man, he has to change the form now. From the spirit to the human flesh. And the Bible even tells us in Hebrews 2, so from verse 6 up there, he says now that he was made a little lower than the angel. What the purpose of it? Because God wants to bring once again the communion between him and his children. Because God wants to do something. God wasn't happy to see his children separate from him. God wants to bring reconciliation with his children. Now, in the book of Second Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 16. Second Corinthians. Now let's go read from verse 70. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ. And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, God not only reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, but also has given us this ministry of reconciliation. But this ministry of the reconciliation, there's a price that to be paid. It's not just like that, no. There's something that has to be done. That's why we see that God has to become a sin offering. God has to become now a burnt offering. God's become a sacrifice that he could bring us to himself. Now that's what God did. And he says in verse 19, then to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God was in Christ. God was in that body that was named Christ to reconcile his family to himself. God became flesh to bring back the reconciliation, to bring the harmony, because the prophet said they were living in harmony of one family. They were living in harmony of the fellowship. That God has to become a human now to bring back that reconciliation. Now we see that the prophet tells us now, if we move from Adam now, we bring the things a bit closer. And we find that how Eve did fall there in Eden. Something happened there. Something took place there. That something happened that why they could not keep the word of God. Because God has provided everything that they needed. God provides the atomic weapon unto them. God gives them the word. And the prophet said the word always defeats the devil. The word always defeats the devil. But they stay away from the word. And they listen, the prophet said, by the reasoning with the word. Now they went to listen by the envy of the knowledge of certain things that is not of God. And it separated them from God. And he said the same thing now. When Christ now died at the cross, and to bring back us now to God. And the prophet said God made the choice now with the Hebrew bride now to bring them now to have his own family on earth. But the prophet said it the same thing happened again. They separated from God. They were now separated from God. By why? By accepting dogmas, by accepting credos, by accepting things that are not of God. That's what separated God and his family at the first time. In Eden, the same thing now that happened again. The prophet said when they accept now in third seal, and he says now when they accept to go to Nicaea Council, something happened there. Now God was separate with his own family again. Christ was separate from his bride. What happened? Because they are connected by the Holy Spirit. And once they take dogma, the Holy Spirit is not anymore there. God is not connected anymore with his family. But God never been happy when he's separated to his family. God will try to do his everything that he can do to bring back his family again to the harmony with him. Because God delights to fellowship and communion with his family. If we bring even our personal life, by each time when we are disconnected from God, it means that sin comes to our life. Each time when we are disconnected from God, sin comes in our life. That's what happened in Eden. That's what happened through all the history of the Bible. When we are disconnected with God, something happened. But God always is willing to pay a price to bring back the reconciliation. Now we see that the prophecy, God gave them the word there. Now let's read the spoken word. Then you can understand it better. The prophet give good example before we could explain it. He say now, this I'm reading it from the third seal. The prophet said, now, when he come to the Hebrew bride, she was the mother of all that was living. It's the same, if you read in Genesis, the scripture tells us that Eve was the mother of all living. But we don't want to touch that scripture there because we know that Adam also, he wasn't the father of all living. Adam wasn't the father of everybody. There was a certain son there, that a certain son wasn't Adam's son. But when God came, that's why the scripture says that he predestinated them before the foundation of the world. When Christ came, he came to the predestinated seed. Not to everybody, as the scripture says, he gave his son to the world. Not the world like you think. Not the world for the separate seed. Because God knows that the separate seed will never repeat. Yeah. God can't, not the way you think that the things work. No, God can't save just all the world. There's people that must be savable for God to save them. If you are not able to be redeemable, how can God redeem you? And for you to be redeemed there, you must exist first. Because the prophet said the redemption is not the replacement. It's the same word as the resurrection. If I have to redeem something, that things must exist first.
Yes.
I'm not buying a new thing. It's the same things that belonged to me before. But somehow it went out of my hand that I'm redeeming it back. It's the same way that God did to us. He's redeeming his own children. He's not redeeming the seed of the serpent. He can't redeem the seed of the serpent because the seed of the serpent never belonged to God before. How can God redeem something that never belonged to him? It's not possible because God is just in his law. And the prophet say now when he came to the Hebrew bride, she was the mother of all that was living. But she rejected. Naturally, Eve fell in Eden by listening. He said, naturally, Eve fell in Eden by listening certain reasoning against the word of God. And that is how she felt. Now he's speaking about the Hebrew Bible. That the way she fell, all right, sir, she fell because she did that. Spiritually, Eve now that is the church, Christ's bride. She fell not in Eden but in Rome. That's what happened now. Another bride now of God, now of Jesus Christ, is falling again in Rome. Inside of taking the God word, they take the dogma now. They went through the empire, Constantine Empire, and they went to Nice Council. They went there. All of them went there. But what God? God is not happy with it. Why they have to go there? That's why we see that the prophet says that the Holy Spirit through the dark age was bound. There was no Holy Spirit now. But the only way that we can be connected to God is when we have the Spirit of God. And that's the only God, the Holy Spirit that make us to be the children of God. Because Adam, remember, he was created in the image of God. But not the physical image. That we're speaking about a spiritual image. He came from God. And him and Eve, they come from God. Before they could come to a physical body, they exist already. Amen. They exist already. Because there was something now that was connecting them with God. And that nature of God that was inside of them made them the eternal being. But by the moment they sin, They went out of the word of God now. They went separate from God now. There was no connection anymore. The family were not connected. The family were disconnected. That's why we find the same thing with the Hebrew bride. They went now. After the first age now. They start and they fall in the same thing. And the prophet say now, the Holy Spirit was bound. And he says now, in the Feast of the Trumpet, the prophet say, the Holy Spirit has been bound by this denomination rivers for almost 2,000 years. Now, the things that connected the family was bound. The things that connected God with his family was bound. It wasn't possible for God to connect now. But God has a wonderful plan to his family. God has something in mind that he wanted to do for his family. And God knows that at the end of the time, at the end of the ages, he has to go back now and reconcile with his family again. Because God must bring his family together. If the family of God can't separate, at the same as you and I, we can't separate from our wife. We can't separate from our children. The family must be together. Now, God has to connect his family at the end time again. And the prophet gives us a very good quotation here. He said, the Holy Spirit has been bound by denominational river for almost 2,000 years. Friend, there's nowhere where you can get the Holy Spirit out of the message of the hour. It sounds difficult, but that's the scripture. That's the way the prophet shows us. There's no Holy Spirit out of the message of the hour. You can have it in the surface, but you can't have it in the soul. It's not possible, because it needs someone now to unbound that Holy Spirit that was bound through the dark age. God has to do something. God has to send now the ministry of the Son of Man that can unbound again, that was bound through the dark age. God has to send the seventh angel now to come with the message now that will unbound the Holy Spirit and connect God and his family together. That's what we're getting. That God has to do it that way. Because the prophet tell us, and he say, but is it to be loosed in the evening time by the evening time messenger? Do you believe that? The prophet say, it must be loosed at the evening time by the evening time messenger. That the message we believed. If you don't believe that, it's shame on you. That the message we believed. That if the Holy Spirit was bound, it's only the seventh angel can unbound it. Yeah. But how will you know it if you do not believe the message of the seventh angel? It's not possible. You can't have it. You must believe the message of the seventh angel, because it's the only one that can unbound the Holy Spirit that was bound. That's where we get that we must get to a level where we must make sure that we believe the message or not. That is the message we believe. You have to believe that way. You can't say that you have your Holy Spirit from your former church where you used to fellowship before. And you make the prophet a liar. And the prophet can't lie. Because we see that through the dark age, the Holy Spirit was bound. There was no Holy Spirit. They went to man tradition. They departed from the word of God. But God wasn't happy that to see his family living that way. And the prophet said, the Holy Spirit back in the church again, Christ himself revealed in a human flesh in the evening time. And he said and he promised it. Amen. Christ himself in a human flesh revealing in the evening time. That's the message I believe. That Christ was in a man and revealing himself to bring back now his family together. To bring back his family to harmony with God. To bring back his family to the fellowship with God. Because it's not possible through the dark age that you could fellowship with God in the way that it's supposed to be, the way it used to be in Eden. No, it's not possible. That's why that little book, according to John in Revelation 5, It was held there in the hand of the one that was seated on the throne. Who can take that book there? Because that was the book of redemption. That was the book that has everything there. But the scripture shows us in Revelation 10 now that God has a deeper thought to his family. God has something that wanted to bring back his family to harmony again. Because through the dark age, there was a disharmony between God and his family. There was no harmony anymore. God could not fellowship the way he used to fellowship, you know, lip to ears. It wasn't possible. God has to do something. I'm not talking about the forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of sin, the Lord Jesus did it at the Calvary. But God, he has to do something more deeper. To bring back his spirit now to his church, that the spirit was bound, God must use a vessel. And God is bound his work with man. God must use a man now. Because we know the scripture tells us, according to Luke 17:30. And we see that everything must be fulfilled according to the scripture. And God has to reveal himself in the human flesh. God, the way when God wanted to do, to take Hebrew children out of Egypt, how God did it in the first Exodus. God did it the same way. God has to use a man. And God says, I'm coming down to deliver my people. But when we didn't see God in the physical form. We saw Moses. And God tell Moses, I will make you a God. And Aaron will be your prophet. That's what God says. That I'm going to do something greater here. I'm going to bring my people out of Egypt. Out of that confusion. And bring them to the promised land. And the prophet say we are in the third Exodus. Where God has to repeat the history again. The same way he did in the first Exodus. He has to do the same thing in the third Exodus. God must bring his family out of Egypt now. That his family can worship him in a proper way. Because in Egypt, the family could not be in harmony with God. There was a certain law that was different from the law of God. There was a certain tradition that was different from of God. Now God has to send them a message. And has to send them his mind now. That those people can know how to worship God. Because you can't worship God properly in Egypt. You have to come forth out of Egypt. You have to come out of those denominations. And get to the message of the hour. Then you can worship God and fellowship with God. Otherwise, you are not yet worshiping God. You have to come out of it. That's why the message, church, is not just a different church as other church. No, because we get something deeper. And we get another level that the people are not there in Egypt. That's why we are here. We are not here just to be a fun, different people than the rest of the people. You have to catch the revelation. That's why the wise man, they says, we have seen his star. Not someone show us the star. You have to see the star yourself. You must see the messenger yourself. Not someone that show you. They says, we have seen. They claim to themselves. They didn't say that someone has shown us. Because once you see yourself, there's nobody to force you to believe it. Once you see yourself, there's nobody has to force you to come to church. Because you have seen, you have experienced, you have understanding the star. That's why it's so important to understand why are we here in this church. Because this church believes in the message of the hour. Why are we here? Did we see the star ourselves? Or we just come because we have to be there? No, you must see the star. Because they say, we have seen the star and we come to worship him. And the star lead them through where Christ was. And at the evening time, we have seen his star. His messenger. And we come to worship him. Because we know that God is doing something. God is bringing harmony again with his bride. He's bringing harmony again with his people. There when they were in Egypt, they were fighting there. They were betraying among themselves. But there was that on there. that could betray his brethren. He could not speak peace of his brethren. He always wanted to earn money by speaking evil of his brethren. But once they come from there, that system changed. Now it become a message now of love. The love of God leading them to the promised land. There's no fight anymore. Now it become that Moses bring them the requirement that God has to give them to get to the promised land. That was God expressing his love to his children. Because by getting them out of Egypt, it was an act of love. Because there's nothing greater that he can do to a slave than to make him free. That is a great act of love. If someone was a slave and you make him free, the person will be very happy. And we were slaves of sin. We were slaves in our denomination. But God sent us something greater to make us free from there. It's something to rejoice. It's God's love. He manifests himself. He showed how he was thinking about you, how he was thinking about me, that he should bring us back to the fellowship again. Let's read this quote, then we finish with it. And the prophet said, look, and he says here, and it says, look, resurrection, that if the book fall from the floor, now to take another book and take it in its place is not restoration. Resurrection, you have to bring the same one up. Amen. So if the church died through the dark age and become completely pagan back here, then the restoration, that is a reformation, to reform but not to be reformed and born again, is two different things. See, they brought back reformation. Reformation getting away from a lot of their idol and so forth, but they never brought the Holy Ghost back in the church. And the prophet said, oh, bless the name of the Lord, the brother, sister. Can you see it? They never brought the Holy Spirit back, because the one that really bring the true gospel light, put on your cup now, then one that bring it true gospel light is the angel of the church down here. We are going to see it that Sunday. The prophet speaking about the seventh angel, he said, is the one that bring back the Holy Spirit to the church. Is the one that is bring back now the harmony between God and his family. Now, if the angel brought the harmony between God and his family, and we believe the message of the angel, then we're supposed to have harmony between one another.
Amen.
Then we're supposed to have the same nature of God, because God is bringing his family together. And we're supposed to have the same love that God has. And we're supposed to have the same thing that he brought it, because the prophet says that when he went beyond the curtain of time, he said nothing will enter there except the perfect love. And it's the voice he say, what you have preached is the perfect love. That's the only thing that can enter there. That's the only things that can make us get there in heaven is the perfect love. It's something that we must fight to get it. We must pray that God, I want that love that will make me love my brother and love my sister. I just want to show you a very good quote that the prophet quoted. It's a familial quote for the Christ, the mystery of God revealed. You won't be able to finish everything. The prophet has a very good quote here. Now, this quote, I like it for the children of God. And he shows how the devil always, he tried. And he say now, and I just give it a title, the unity of the family. And the prophet said, love one another above everything. Love one another. No matter what the devil tried to say, you are one all great big sweet group now. But remember my warning, see, Satan won't let that to stay that way. Satan will never allow it. that as the family of God, to be one, because the prophet says, you are a sweet little one group of the people. You are one family of God, like the God used to be with his people in Eden. But we know that the enemy is present. The way he was present in Eden, he's present also in this earth. He will never leave the things to be that way. The prophet said, no, Satan won't let that stay that way. No, sir. He will shoot everything. If he has to bring somebody in to make his target, he will bring some critics or unbeliever in and sit him down and cause him to fellowship with you under the quietness of things. And then he will shoot that guy with some kind of poison stuff. And he will start to throw the church with it. Do not you take a side with it. What the prophet say? How to show that the devil, he will never be happy to leave you, me and I, and you to live in harmony. He's not happy. The devil is not happy to see the children of God living in harmony. He's not happy to see the children of God moving in harmony. He will do everything that he can do. And everything that we have to understand, that everything that comes between us, is our enemy. It's not God. Because God doesn't want his family to be divided. It's the enemy that does it. The prophet says he will do everything that he can. He can throw even some poison. And he will start throwing the church with it. And do not you take a side with it. Do not you have nothing to do with anything else. You stay right, loving, sweet, and kind to one another. That's what the prophet said. That what we have to fight for. We have to fight that we should stay loving. Now to say in love to one another. That the advice of the prophet. Because the prophet could see things afar. And in the prophet could see even our church. He could see all the message believers church. And the prophet was speaking to the people that believe his message. That the devil will do these things. But we must fight. We must say we should not accept his tactic. He said, pray for that man that he will be saved too. Or that woman or ever who it is. Just pray to them and stick one with another. That's what we see from the beginning. What the prophet explained in oneness. He said God was one with his family. And God wants us, the prophet said, he wants us to stick together. With one another. That there should not be separation between us. Because God of heaven, he will never be happy to see his family divided. God doesn't want it to be that way. And us as the children of God, if we can do our best, we are all human. We have our failing. I have my failing. You have your failing. But love covers the multitude of sins. If there's enough love in our dealing to one another, it can help us to fulfill the plan of God in this place. Because the only way that God could bring us to himself, it must be an act of love. Because the scripture says God so loved the world that he sent his begotten son to die for you and I, to take your place and to take my place, that we shall be able to be stand in the presence of God. Because once the man sinned now, that veil, that cherubim they were put around, now there was no access. But we know that Christ, when he came, according to Matthew 27, the scripture tells us from verse 50, that when he gave his ghost, what happened? The veil of the temple was rent now. And we have a free access now to God. Once we have access to God, we can pray on the behalf of one another. We can make the intercession that God should help us to live together. That's the motive. God wants to see his family living in unity. Let's stand and ask the song leader to give us one song before we close it with a word of prayer.
just to present the word of God, to show the thought that was in God's mind, what God has told us, that God has to do certain sacrifice that he could bring man to himself again, to the harmony, that it wasn't something light, it wasn't something just easy for God to do that. If the message, we know that the prophet, when he come with the message, the voice told him, because you have chosen that narrow way, a portion of heaven is waiting for you. It's not easy, some of the things that we have to do in our life. But if we are the children of God and the Spirit of God is in us, it will push us to do the same thing. Because that Spirit of God is the Spirit of reconciliation. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of love. Because the Scripture says he made us the ministry of reconciliation. Let's sing the song.
Down from his glory, ever-living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name, born in a manger, to his own stranger, a man of sorrow, tears and agony. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my son, my sunshine, my all in all, the great creator, he became my savior, and all God's fullness dwelt in me. What condescension, bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night not one faint hope in sight, God gracious tender laid aside at his splendor, stopping to wait, to win, to save my song. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my brain, my sunshine, my all in all, the great creator, he became my savior, and all God's fullness dwelt in him. Without flesh and blood, his substance, he took the form of man, revealed the hidden plan. Oh, glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary. And now I know thou art the great I am. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my brother, my sunshine, great Creator, He became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelt in Him.
Let's all bow our head. Let's just pray, speak to our Maker for a few minutes before we ask Brother Vlad to close with a word of prayer. Let's all speak to God. Oh, Seigneur, je vous prie, merci encore une fois de rester par toi. Tu es le seul et le véritable Dieu. Tu es celui qui
bénit toute la présence de tout et chacun de tes enfants dans cette place, Père. Que toi, tu puisses conduire ton peuple, ô Dieu Tout-Puissant, à l'adoption, ô Dieu bien-aimé. Que toi, tu puisses remplir cette église avec l'amour à Capao, cet amour qui nous permet à aimer même ceux qui ne nous aiment pas.
If anybody has any prayer request, as we bow our head, we ask Brother Vlad to close with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this evening time that you brought us here, O Lord. Amen. When we see, like you use your prophet, O Lord, just to reveal us in a very simplicity many things, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Like you brought just thought about the young couple, O Lord, to have fellowship.
Please, Lord.
O Lord, there is going something in between.
Yes, Lord.
O Lord, we want to just, if you can come down, just warm our hearts.
Please, Lord.
Our souls, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Make real, O Lord, once more, your word, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Make real that you are real for us, O Lord.
Please, Lord.
That this message of Allah is real for us, O Lord. Mm. That all things are real. That everything is just about love, O Lord.
Please, Lord.
O Lord, even when we depart from this place, that when we come back, O Lord, that we can say, oh, surely you've been with us on our way, O
yes,
Lord, back, O Lord. Even, O Lord, when there is somebody who is sick, whatever, O Lord, needs, O Lord, recovery, O Lord. You are that one we are just relying even now, O Lord. We call your name even now, O Lord.
Please.
Come down. You do something in a special way, O Lord,
yes,
that glory and honor can brought to this house once again,
please,
O Lord. That your children can rejoice, O Lord. Because you says that healing is just bread for your children, O
yes, Lord.
Oh, we are so thankful for everything.
Please,
Lord. Oh, Lord, we commend even my brother Francois into your hands.
Yes, Lord.
Lead him, inspire him, O Lord. We just commend even ourselves, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Be with us. While we depart from this place, we want to go with peace,
please,
with
Lord.
Your protection wherever we go.
Yes, Lord.
That even we think, O Lord, that you will inspire our thinking, O Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord, even when we go to sleep, to rest, O Lord, you speak to us. Be with us, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, come down, O Lord.
Mm.
Forgive our sins, trespasses,
please,
O Lord.
Lord.
Be with us.
Mm.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing the chorus, then we dismiss. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we meet on Sunday morning.
How excellent, how excellent is thy name, O Lord. How excellent is thy name, O excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name, O Lord. How excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name, O Lord. How marvelous is thy name, O Lord. How marvelous is thy name, O Lord.
thy name. How marvelous is thy name. How marvelous is thy name. Oh Lord. How marvelous is thy name. How marvelous is thy name. How marvelous is thy name.